Howdy, y'all! Did I sound super Texan?
Oh, God, she's been dying to say that.
Grace, our producer, wrote it down. So once I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Megan Segura.
Hi, I'm Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish. Yeah. Before we start, we want to shout out Emily Horlocher. Horlocher. You tweeted us and asked which episode has part two or three of the Jax interview. We found it, and it's going to be in this episode because this week, Jax and Brittany
take Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Premiered this week. But there were a few other big shows this week, so we'll be talking about Shaws of Sunset, Real Housewives of Orange County, Real Housewives of Dallas, and, of course, Real Housewives of New York Reunion Part 2.
But first, let's get some headlines. We have Laura Rosenfeld here from our Daily Dish News team, who always has her eye on the pulse.
Yes, that's right.
Eye on the pulse, finger on the pulse. Finger on the ball. Oh, my God, sorry. Eye on the ball and then finger on the pulse.
Yep. I
it
got
just
it.
Didn't. Yeah. Sports. Yeah. But Laura, what is going on with our Bravo Labs this week?
Well, thank you for that amazing intro, by the way, Rachel.
You're welcome. You know, I do this professionally.
It was great. Loved it. But speaking of love, it's turning out to be the summer of Love is Dead here at Bravo.
What? No. Did someone else break up?
Yeah, unfortunately. Southern Charm pal Danny Baird announced that she had ended her engagement with her fiancé, Todd Baldry.
Oh, God. Well, wait, now she's available for Thomas.
Oh.
Remember he tried to date her for like a brief?
Don't do it, Danny.
Wait. Why did they break up?
Well, we don't know. Don't know a lot of details. Danny just confirmed the news on Twitter this past weekend. She tweeted, quote, "In truth, we sadly ended our engagement a month ago. He'll always be the best man I'll ever know."
Aw. Mm, will he, though? What about your next guy? That should be the best one.
True.
It's a nice sentiment, though.
It is a nice sentiment. Well, she did. She wrote something similar in an Instagram post where she announced the engagement back in July 2016. I think it was hashtag best man I'll ever know or something like that. So I think it's kind of, you know, relating back to that Instagram post, that initial engagement announcement. Is why she repeated it, is my guess. But we don't have a lot of details. We don't know why they broke up or anything like that.
Do we know who broke up with who?
We don't know that either.
Mm. See, now I'm thinking that it was a code that the best man.
Whoa.
Wow. Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, how far do we think she was in the planning? Like, how many deposits is she going to lose?
I mean, very, very far into it, because they were apparently reportedly supposed to tie the knot in about 2 weeks after she confirmed the engagement was over. So it was very close.
I don't think I could do it. I think I would just go through with the wedding and say sorry after.
You said this to me before, and I think about Luann's wedding.
Yeah.
You would just, like, at a certain point, you can't back out.
Just have the party, go into it with great intentions, and then
how soon after then do you break up? Like, if you know going into it that this isn't right.
I don't know.
If he's the best man she knows, surely she can make it work.
But yeah, so she confirmed that. And then, I guess shortly after they broke up, she decided to join Stassi Schroeder and her friend Rachel O'Brien on vacation
Mexico?
In Mexico.
Oh,
my gosh. I would break up to go on that trip.
Wait. Exactly. So Stassi broke up, goes to Mexico. Danny breaks up, goes to Mexico.
What do you think happened? Do you think she tweeted that and Stassi was like, come to Mexico, it's cool?
I think she joined them on the Mexico trip. Before she tweeted that, before she confirmed the breakup. So before, you know, she made it public. So
I was going to say, Maybe she went and Stassi was like, yeah, it just wasn't right. And Danny was like, oh, my God, it's not right for me either. And then she came to this realization, but then she said it was a month ago. So well, my theory is wrong.
What is interesting, though, is that Danny had visited Stassi and Rachel and hung out with them in L.A. A few weeks ago prior to the Mexico vacation and her confirming that her engagement is off. So I don't know if, I mean, that was before Stassi's whole breakup, you know, happened, too. So I don't know. I don't know what was going on there.
This is a crazy trip in the making.
And I wish we had cameras there.
I know.
Because you know they're having tequila.
There's a lot of sobbing.
Yeah. Why aren't we filming it? Someone get down there, Ryan Flynn. Get on the horn. But what else happened this week, Laura?
But yeah, and then Stassi opened up more about her breakup with Patrick in her in an episode of her podcast, Straight Up with Stassi, recorded from Mexico. While talking to Rachel O'Brien
about here it. Is an update. Mexico's great, guys.
Yeah.
But she was very emotional during most of the 45-minute podcast episode. Sure. So there were tears.
Tequila is not an upper sometimes.
I guess not.
I have to say, because I read her quotes from that episode, and it sounded to me like it maybe wasn't one of those something happens that's like, oh, we can't be together, we have to break up. It sounds like it was just a really bad fight where no one said I'm sorry first.
Yeah,
right?
Read us a quote, Laura. Do you have a quote?
The quotes are very expletive written.
Okay.
I have to say
it. Let it out.
Yeah. So apparently, this is how the breakup and kind of the fight started on Stassi and Patrick's fourth anniversary, mind you.
I can't believe it's been 4 years.
I know. Time flies.
Yeah.
So Stassi described it like this on her podcast, Straight Up with Stassi. Quote, we get into an argument on our anniversary that he did not remember, our four-year anniversary. Granted, okay, we broke up for a really long time, but I mean our four-year anniversary. We met 4 years ago on that day. Nothing new happened to where I would be broken up and jilted a day before our Mexican vacation for our anniversary that I only remembered. Cool.
Okay, so it's not a real anniversary.
Okay, what I was going to say is I don't... Honestly, the only reason I know when I met my boyfriend, it's because it's the night that season like 6 or 9 of Roni premiered because I got a little buzzed at the premiere party and then met up with him.
It's just
that's
like
amazing that is your marker, your anniversary.
I feel like when we start doing the first day we met, the first day you held my hand, the first time I met your parents, like, my God, how many days are we celebrating? So like, poor guy is like, yeah, I don't remember. First of all, it really doesn't count as an anniversary if, like, we've been broken up all this time.
I don't think that there are anniversaries until you get married. Like, I don't think of anything that I would celebrate.
Month-iversaries.
Month-iversaries? Oh, God. I don't know.
But so, I don't know.
That's controversial.
It sounds to me like she got pissed he didn't remember, they got into a fight, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like from the way she describes it, you know, she reminds him of their anniversary, and then according to her, his response was, oh, that's sweet, and that kind of opened up a whole can of worms, and an argument ensued, and he decided not to go on this Mexican vacation, this romantic, you know, Mexican getaway that Stassi had planned, paid for already, and, you know, was planning on just the two of them going on.
I have two thoughts. Number one, if we know Vanderpump Rules, we know that this does not mean that they will not get back together.
Right.
Secondly, we know Stassi Schroeder in relationships. We've seen her in a few of them. Do we think that she's just a volatile relationship person, that she's a passionate partner, I guess, is the best way I would describe it. Like, some people, I think, just fight, and that's just what they do.
I think she also, and she's probably admitted this before, like, that she's kind of spoiled. She expects a certain amount of, like, indulgence.
That's true.
She needs a guy who indulges her and is like, I already bought you the anniversary gift.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she needs a guy that is all about Stassi all the time.
How did she ever date Jax?
Right. That is the question. Million-dollar question.
He probably adored her feet.
Oh,
you know?
No, it's Schwartz that has the foot fetish.
No, it's Jax.
Well, it's Schwartz and Katie, too. Ooh. We have a video of him talking about sucking on her toes or something. Check out BravoTV.com.
Why are there multiple men in the Vanderpump Rules crew who feel this way?
Why are there multiple men in life with Lincoln?
Well, thank you so much for those updates, Laura.
Yeah,
we clearly had a lot to say about it. And we look forward to next time. Oh, and the links to those articles, if you want to know more, are in the description.
Yeah, and lots more to check out on the Daily Dish also. So BravoTV.com/Daily Dish.
Yes. Good job, Laura.
Thank you.
Good plug.
So, oh my God, this week, the Real Housewives of New Jersey super trailer came out.
Coming up this season on the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
One, two, three. Oh.
Wow, that's a lot of muscles in one room.
Melania! This is Margaret.
She beats to her own drum.
I just want to thank you all for coming to my birthday.
Where am I? Where am I?
Perfecto.
I'm back, bitches.
This is why she was engaged 19 times.
That's right, baby.
Oh, my God.
We're going to have to explain to the restaurant we're from Jersey.
You miss so much.
I know.
What do you know what goes on here when you're not here for 18 years?
I really miss my mommy.
I know how it is missing your mother. You are gone.
You know, when they say time heals all wounds, it doesn't.
You bought a restaurant.
Yeah.
You totally blindsided me here.
She's not a Gorga. She's only Gorga by marriage.
That's my wife.
Bye. You know what? Teresa.
Where's the f***ing loyalty? What's up with this girl?
You're a f***ing lie. Never said that. You're a crazy scumbag.
I want to take her and pull on those pigtails until they come out of her head.
You're one of the ugliest human beings in the world for making fun of me.
I heard she rekindled an old flame.
That's f***ing true.
You should have f***ing stuck up for
that. I did stick up for you. When is it enough?
Stuck, huh?
You know what PAR stands for? Piece of sh**. Coke
whore.
Home record every day.
You're the one who was in f***ing jail, not me, bitch.
I would love to f***ing grab you by the back of your f***ing hair.
That's f***ed up.
You're f***ed up.
How do you say that in f***ing Italian? F***ing f***ed up.
It was an epic ending. Need we say more?
And Danielle is back.
I mean, I will say that because I knew she was coming back, right now my excitement level is not what it was when I first heard, which was like, I wanted to cry and scream
of
and
happiness?
Run around. Yes, of course. Oh my God, Danielle is coming back.
Right?
Oh my God. But engaged 19 times.
Right. That's super exciting. The part where, I mean, so many like huge insults being thrown out.
Oh my gosh. Well, so many things. First of all, I love that Siggy said, we'll now have to explain to people that we're from New Jersey.
Right.
Hilarious. She's clashing with like a lot of people, it seems. Danielle and new girl.
Yes, Margaret.
Margaret with the pigtails.
Margaret with the pigtails.
And your favorite insult.
I know what POSH stands for.
Piece of sh**. Coke whore. Home record every day.
It was so good, I wrote a post about it.
Every day is my favorite.
Right. I mean, she really nailed it. Like, she did not miss a letter.
It's just like every year we have a posh fashion show and it makes me so happy.
Yeah. And what was the thing at the end? Like, how do you say something in Italian?
How do you say that in f***ing Italian? F***ing puta.
Puta, which is Spanish.
Oh, is it's not also
for
Italian?
Bitch.
Oh.
Oh, I don't think that puta is Italian, but I didn't learn that in my Italian 101 class.
I believe it means prostitute.
Oh,
prostitute, Grace is saying.
Yeah.
Lutinesca sauce.
You know, Twitterverse, can we just like have you guys weigh in? # Bravo Daily Dish.
Yes.
# what does punta mean?
Is it punta or puta? Putanesca.
Puta.
Puta. Puta in Spanish, though, came up for me, which again means whore. So it's all either language.
No matter how this cookie crumbles, you end up with whore. However this whore cookie crumbles,
you end up
with whore.
With whore. So, yeah, it seems like Danielle is not just back, but back making some waves.
And I'm kind of happy that Namaste Teresa is out the window, because she may have not flipped a table, but she threw a chair.
It kind of reminded me, you know, when Carol this year was like, the first year after divorce is fun, and then the second year is when it really sinks in.
Right.
And I feel like last year we saw Teresa come home, and now she's like living that life of without Joe, being a single mom, and like what that's really like. And now we're seeing that this year.
I'm very curious to sort of go into those rumors of her having a side piece, because I really can't even imagine it. Like, to me, it's one of those like tabloid rumors that's so far-fetched, like it couldn't possibly be true. But the fact that it made it into this season, I don't know.
You're like, where there's smoke, there's fire.
I don't know.
I just think that it's something based on the fact that it's Kim D. And we know Kim D just brings up stuff that actually doesn't have any validity.
Calling Melissa a stripper.
Right, right. And just in general, she'll just like put stuff out there that's like completely ridiculous. That's what makes me think that it's just like,
yeah,
not true at all.
I mean, I still don't believe Teresa ever could, but I'm curious to see who that shirtless man is.
Right. For all we know, it was like Joe Gorga next to her, though, taking off his shirt.
Ew.
I know. Let's hope not. But I'm just saying, like,
ooh, because it's her brother, to be
right,
clear.
Right. No, to be clear, because it's her brother. I mean, I got it. But I just mean, the editing was like, you don't know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Can you see his face? I'd have to watch it again. I need to do some deep diving forensic.
Yeah. We'll watch this 10 more times.
But yeah, new lady.
Margaret Josephs.
Mm-hmm. Wearing pigtails that Siggy wants to rip out of her head. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Siggy actually talked about this season when I was at her house interviewing her for the guest editor thing she did for us a while ago. So let's hear her take on this season.
Last question, but it's a big one. We hear you're coming back to The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I am.
Oh, my gosh.
I am coming back. I couldn't resist. You know, doing this show is... I there's something about the girls that I truly love. I think that, you know, a lot of people are like, why do you love Jersey so much? Because I like to surround myself with people who, you know, love their families. And you're talking about Teresa, Melissa, Dolores, and myself. We love our children. We love our husbands. We love our families. We love our ex-husbands. Family is really, really important to us, and I love being with them. And I'm with them when the cameras are down. So I'm back, and it's going to be a very interesting season. And you're going to see a lot of different sides, too, especially for me and Dolores. This season, we really, you know, we feel more comfortable with our positions, and we really go for it. So we take it from like a 2 to a 10+.
But the big thing this week, Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky premiered.
It's really cute.
Yes.
I mean, just like the perfect little slice of heaven show. Because to see Jax having to work so hard and in such a different environment.
Right. It's like literally nothing like LA.
Right. He is not allowed to drink.
Right.
I really didn't know how he would survive, but he didn't, because he just found a way to bypass that. But what I loved about this episode, before we get into his interview, is at the end, he pulls aside Brittany's mom and grandmother and is like, just so you guys know how serious I am, here's a photo of the ring that I plan on giving to Brittany.
I have a designer. I have a ring designer.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So this is what it's going to look like.
Are you serious?
Yes, gorgeous.
So you're going to be my son-in-law?
I am, hopefully.
Oh, my gosh.
Don loves it.
But it's very unclear when?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's what I thought, too.
Like, do you have it in possession, or it's just at the store?
Right, right. Where is the ring? We know where the picture is,
right.
But where is the ring?
But needless to say, I'm very excited to see where the season goes.
I wonder if he went to the same place that Schwartz went to, because I really liked Katie's ring.
Yeah, but that was custom made, right?
Right. So
Could be the same jeweler.
Right. Here's Jax. He was in the office with us talking about Vanderpump Rules, and he had just kind of finished taping.
Yeah, I think the day before or something.
Right. So he was like hot off of like all the drama we're about to see. And we got him to talk a little bit about the show. Yeah.
So are you excited?
I am excited. It was a lot of fun. It was a long 11 days, but it started off great. It did. It was interesting. It was definitely a break from LA, which I loved because I love to leave LA anytime I can because that place drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to go out on the farm and try like a different lifestyle.
So you went to Kentucky.
I went to Kentucky with Brittany's family. She has a 500-acre farm, animal, horses, pigs, roosters, chickens. She has like 100 cattle. She's got all kinds of animals. So it was basically me. Have you seen Son-in-Law, Pauly Shore?
Yes.
It's the same thing. Or like, you know, when Paris and Nicole did.
Yeah.
You mix those together. Like it's that. Because me on a farm is just, it's like I'm so out of my element and doing like chores and things like that. And like in the Bible Belts, as they call it, is a little different for me. There's going to be some really interesting things. My church, me going to church is quite interesting.
Oh.
I think I had the whole film crew like in tears.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Will we ever see you in just overalls and nothing else, a la Sex in the City?
Absolutely.
Yes!
That's all we wanted, Jax. That's all we wanted.
Yes. Of course. Overalls, straw hat, cowboy boots.
But this isn't your first time to Kentucky, right?
It is not my first time to Kentucky, no.
Okay.
It's like my second time? Third time, I think.
But this was the first time, like, in the farm.
I mean, like, in, like, actually getting up at the crack of dawn and, like, feeding the animals and, like, actually having to work.
Yeah, it really is like Son-in-Law.
Yeah, like, working, like, and they grow tobacco on her farm. Like, there's a tobacco farm there. So, it's a lot of work. And then dealing with her friends and her family and that side of the world is kind of like, that part of the world is just... Wow, because she's literally in the middle of nowhere. Like, in the middle, she's on the Kentucky River, like 500 acres. I don't know if you know how big 500 acres is. It's quite large. So her family all lives on the property. So it's her mom's house, her mom's sister, her grandma, and then her mom's other sister, and it's all like that. And it's a huge, huge piece of property.
Right.
A lot of crazy things. I mean, I knew going into what this was going to be like, and I'm like, okay, but there's a lot of things that happened that weren't planned, and it was like... What and then the way it ends is like,
For you to have a spinoff, big deal.
It was a big deal, you know. How it came about too is usually after every season of Vanderpump Rules, the producers will take us out to dinner and we'll go to a nice dinner and say, "Hey, great job this season. We want to thank you," and yada yada. So I thought that's what it was. They called us, our producers, John and Bill, say, "Hey, we want to meet you at the dinner over at the, something on Wilshire." Anyway, I'm like, "Oh, we're doing our dinner." I didn't think anything of it. No big deal. So Brady and I get ready and we go to this nice dinner. I'm like, "Sit down." I'm like, "Okay, you know, thanks for dinner. Thanks." So they're like, "Listen, we want to sit down. We want to sit you down because we want to talk to you." And I'm kind of like, "Is this it for us?
Yeah.
Or what's going on?" Like, I didn't know what was going on. And they're like, "We want to give you your own show." And I was kind of like, "What?" First of all, went through my head is like, wait till the rest of the cast finds out about this.
That's where I was asking.
Yes.
So and that was the first thing they said. They're like, "Do not say anything." I was like, "Damn it!" Like, that was the first thing. But you know me, right? I have a big mouth. So anyway, they sat down. We had this, and I'm like, "Give us our own show." And I'm like, "Yes, we want to film you and Brittany," because there was a little video prior to this about a year ago that Brittany did a little video of me feeding chickens when I went to Kentucky the first time, and these chickens started attacking me. They just started attacking me. The roosters came after me, and I screamed like a girl because they were coming after me, and they were pecking the shit out of me. So, and it was hilarious. Brittany was dying because Brittany's like kind of a farmer girl. She can do all these animal stuff, and she was filming this whole situation. And she's in there. I'm like, screaming. Like, have you seen Home Alone where he drops the spider on him? I was like, because the chickens are coming all over me. And I was like, and it was the funniest thing ever. She was dying laughing, and she got it all on film. And so she decided as a joke to send it to, I think, somebody over at Evolution, our production company. And that's how it happened. And they thought it'd be funny to send it to Jax. They wanted to send it to their production company. They thought it was funny. So that's how that happened, all because of that little video.
That's crazy.
They just thought it was funny. They sent it over there. Just sometimes like outtakes of other things on our show.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought, "Oh, I'll send that over to the production." And then so that's how that came about. They're like, "This could be really funny." And it sure was funny. Like, honestly, God, like me doing some of this work is just like, I fail miserably at pretty much 99% of the farm work.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't going in like, oh, I'm going to fail. Like, I thought I was going to knock this out of the park. Meanwhile, because Brittany has older brothers. She's got four or five big farm-bred brothers.
Right.
She's got a father that's just, like, hardcore. So I'm just like, I'm going to show these people what's up. And I'm going to, like, prove them wrong because they think I'm this Hollywood guy who took their daughter, sister away from Kentucky, took her away from their home. Like, who is this guy, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to go in. I'm going to prove them all wrong. I'm going to shoot guns and four-wheelers and feed animals. It did not go well. It did not go well. It, like, I literally was, like, trying so hard, and I failed at everything.
How was the rest of the group once they did find out about the spin-off?
I'm sorry, one more time.
How did the rest of the cast react?
Well, of course the girls are like, oh my God, Jax, we're so happy for Brittany, but not you, you asshole. Like, you guys like a joke, like of course, they're like, of course you would get something, you know, like that. And, you know, they're all like, Tom and Ariana, of course, were kind of like, oh, why didn't we get one? Like, they're all like that. We should be getting one. Like, we should do this and that. And I'm like, of course there's going to be some of that. I think eventually they were happy for us, but in the beginning they were kind of like, you assholes. Like, you know, which I kind of loved it. I was like, I like to twist that knife as much as I can, especially with the girls, especially with like Kristen and Stassi. I love it. I love that. I'm like, got my own show. Because they know, because the girls love everything about Bravo and the show and everything about it. They're so into this and they're so into it. They're like, well, we should do this and this and that. And they know how I am. They know I don't pay attention to any of the show. I show up. I'm on autopilot when I come to do all this. I love all you guys. I do. But it's like, it's not the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning.
Right.
You know, they're like, they're on this, like everything. So for this to happen to me, they're like, you f***ing don't even care about anything. You never watch the show. You get too shit. You're an asshole on the show. And of course you get this. I'm like,
what can you say? You're the number one guy in the group.
You know, I think it's like because I don't want it so bad.
Right.
That the more, you know, yeah. They just are so hungry for it. And then they're like, well, we should get this and we should do this. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to say no to it. Sorry, girls. No, it ended up being really, really cool. And they ended up being nice about it. But it took them some time.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I want to keep watching the show, see where it goes, where the relationship goes.
Right, right. Definitely. And I don't know if you all listened to our podcast with Vanderpump Rules and Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky producer Ryan Flynn. But he was like, if you want to understand the season of Vanderpump Rules, you have to watch Jax and Brittany because it sets up so much.
Right.
So if you are sleeping on this, stop and watch it because A, it's super good, and B, it's gonna like, it's basically the beginning of Vanderpump Rules.
Right. The prequel.
But let's get into some housewives. This week we had the Real Housewives of Orange County to start off.
Yeah, so we start with Lydia's birthday.
Yes.
Who gets not one, but two new cars.
I know. And then a helicopter ride.
Yes. And like a private dinner in a restaurant, or it wasn't crowded. I don't know. I didn't see anyone there.
Right. No, I feel like it was like their restaurant.
Right. And there was also like some Chanel gift on the table too. Like, my God, how much money does this magazine make?
Great question. I also loved when she was like, I mean, it is hard on the purse strings, but, you know, birthdays are important.
It's good for the marriage.
For the marriage.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the key.
I just liked the juxtaposition of, like, right before that scene, you see Jimmy and Megan and them talking about how they never get to see each other and, like, all, like, just seeing them and then seeing this, like, huge giant gestures,
right?
Which, like, it's a different relationship, obviously, but it just, I seeing again the juxtaposition, I thought was very interesting.
Right. There was a really difficult discussion between Tamara and Eddie this week about Sydney, her daughter,
right, and her mom.
Yes,
that phone call,
right. Because as we know, Sydney doesn't live with Tamara and chooses to live with Simon, and how hard that's been on Tamara. And this is the first time that I saw her sort of take a moment. Like, it was almost like a real raw moment where she was like, maybe it was me.
I don't know. I mean, it could just be a coincidence, but truth of the matter is that She left 4 months after we got married.
Maybe I was putting too much time into this new relationship and I made her feel like I didn't care.
Right. And then she kind of was like, I felt the same way about my dad.
Yeah.
So like I get where Sydney would think that.
And it also made me sad because she was crying and was like, maybe I should have stayed married to Simon. Because I always wonder if she knew now what the consequences would have been, would she still have divorced Simon or stayed in it?
Right. It's kind of like, would you put your happiness or your child's happiness first?
Right. But you don't always know cost the other.
I mean, I do not think that she thought leaving Simon, finding love with Eddie, I don't think she would think any of that would have affected her relationship with her daughter.
For sure. And you kind of see the road not taken played out by Kelly and Michael because she was going to get divorced and kind of, you know, said last season he made it really hard on her to get a divorce, so she decided to stay and work it out.
Oh my God, I forgot that she said that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Kelly and Michael, at the in a weird way, I feel like they reminded me of my parents. Not my mom and dad don't have like the same age difference, which I also was, I didn't realize that they were so many years apart.
Right.
She was like, she said 24 and he was 42 when they met or some, it's like around 20 years. And I didn't know that. I didn't, they were so far apart in age, which like naturally you're going to be at different stages of your life.
Right.
But I feel like my dad, since he was like 55, is like a homebody, doesn't want to be around people he doesn't want to be around, doesn't want to go out. He's like very like set in his ways. And my mom is still like, let's go to this party. I want to go hang out with my Aunt Nancy or like whatever. And he's like, I don't want to see anyone when I have free time. I just want to like be alone and hang out in my house. And I was like, I think that is just like getting older. I don't know.
Well, I feel it's not only about age, but I've certainly dated the type of person that always wants to be the social butterfly. And I think if you're not like that, it always leaves you feeling like, am I not enough? Like, do you not just like to hang out with me and us have like private time? Because I watch that with my friends too, her opposite. Thankfully, Aaron and I have the same amount of laziness where we're like, we should just stay home.
Right, right. Well, do we want to do that?
I'm like, no.
but I felt like she, like watching them, I don't want to say argue, but like watching their like tiff, it was just clear that they're not communicating.
Not on the same page.
No, because I don't think that he was trying
No, he wasn't.
Right. I don't think he was trying to be insulting or take digs. I think he was trying to compliment her to be like, you're so great. You got to undo stuff and it's like so good. But she wouldn't even let him get there because immediately it's clearly a sensitive subject where she's like, well, I'm not going to apologize for going out and leaving you at home.
Right.
It's like, bam.
Yes, but it feels like you're complaining. Like you're giving me digs.
I'm complimenting you.
No, you're not. You're
crossing. Can I finish my thought?
I'm not digging.
It was a lot of like dates this week.
It's true. We started with like a lot of the couple stuff.
Yeah.
So we also saw that Shannon was talking to David about her restaurant idea and how she had just gotten a chef to sign on to partner with her. And she talked to us about it when she was in. So make sure you go back and listen to that interview if you haven't already, because I think she broke that news to us.
Yeah, and it's in the episode Champagne Problems.
Awesome.
But then there's the party.
Oh my God, I like that we both wrote Vicky's boobs.
In like caps. Oh my God, Vicky's boobs. I just was like, hello.
That was some cleavage.
Yes, which it reminded me when we watched the first episode of OC ever when Lori went out with her friend and they were wearing those like really low cut tops to like
really low cut sky tops.
Yes. It reminded me of that.
Right.
And I was like, things, I guess, still happen in the OC.
But like now she's probably wearing a much more expensive version.
Yes, yes, of course. I mean, it wasn't a sky top.
Right.
I was going to ask you, because everyone was kind of like, to Kelly, like, oh, your husband didn't come or like whatever. And I kind of like going to social events by myself because I don't like babysitting someone when they don't know someone.
Mm-hmm.
It like annoyed me that I feel like they felt bad for her to be like, oh, your husband's not here. And it's like, maybe she doesn't want her husband there. Maybe
right.
She's like good on her own.
Yeah. But then again, when she does take him out, the last thing I remember is at the 70s party. Wait, no, was it that? Or was another event where Kelly was like, he's drunk, and you see him like drop the glass?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then just say like weird things to people.
So maybe like just. So
maybe it's good that she just goes out on her own.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I want to talk about the Peggy and Tamara.
Do you even want to be friends?
Do you want to be friends?
Right. Do you even want to be? And then when like Peggy tried to touch her and it was like, she was like a leper or something, like, don't touch me. I thought Tamara's reaction was way too much.
It was crazy, but maybe she is starting to feel like I feel, where I'm just like, Peggy, stop it.
Stop being the peacemaker, or like just let us be mad at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, and her daughter said it. You can't just decide people should get over things. Like they need to figure that out and to like come to that conclusion.
I do feel like though Peggy was just saying, and I don't think Tamara was ready to hear what she was saying either, but it was really just at the end of the day, you having this anger inside of you is hurting you.
Right.
So isn't it better just to let it go? And I think maybe the subtext of that, too, is like, because you're going to be seeing this woman a lot.
Right.
Maybe it's not like.
Right.
It's not like you're not on The Real Housewives. You're not. It's not like you're not both housewives, you know, like you're going, if anything, at the reunion, you're going to see each other. And isn't it better to just let it go and accept that this person's going to be in your life than like hold on to this anger that's. And when she said it's like drinking poison. Like, so I get what she was saying, and I just don't think Tamara was ready to hear it.
I feel like Tamara was to Peggy as Shannon was to Lydia. If this were an SAT problem.
Oh.
Like, she reacted the same way Shannon did at that birthday party.
So, right. Because it's like two people that don't really know, and they're asking you to just be like, but can't you just be cool?
Right.
Right, right. And then I thought their conversation in the car was like way too much.
I couldn't tell if Tamara was, like, maybe fueled by a drink or two.
Yeah, oh, I definitely think that.
Because she was holding one in her hand. Not that I think, like, oh, she was so drunk. But, you know, like, sometimes alcohol just intensifies those, like, angry feelings.
Right, I mean, that's why vacations are so great.
Yeah.
But it was, like, it reminded me of Malia being all worked up about Adam and being like, I don't care about Adam. Adam who? I don't care about Adam. But have you seen Adam? Where's Adam? It was like, why are you so bothered if you don't care?
You all care the same amount.
Right, right. You all care.
But you all try to convince everyone that you don't.
Right. It was like when Shannon was like, oh, you saw Vicky. What did she say about me? I mean, I don't care. But what did she say? She said something about me. I mean, I don't care. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, when Shannon said to Lydia, oh, you didn't want me to sit down with Vicky? And it's like, Shannon, like,
you made it very clear that you hate this woman, and it would be very bad if Lydia suggested you two ever get together
again.
And
she continued to say it. So it's like, why would she?
I know. From Lydia's perspective, of course she's not going to ask you. But something's got to happen, right? Like, the other shoe has to drop. Like, they're going to have to. We know that they go to Iceland together. I'm excited. Okay, I have so many things about this next one. Number one, the Huli Night shirt is back.
I know.
I can't believe that they're spending St. Patrick's Day together. I can't believe that Kelly and Shannon are like, yeah, this is a great idea. The last time we were about anything Irish, it was terrible.
Right.
So Vicky's mad at Kelly for wanting to go see Shannon in this next dawn? Maybe I got that wrong. Anyway,
I remember Kelly said to Shannon, I think Tamara, like, whispers in your ear, and Shannon was like, that's what I think about you and Vicky.
Right. Oh, I can't wait.
I told Vicky I was going with you and you.
Oh, yeah.
She thinks that Tamara gets in your ear and you jump on her bandwagon. I think Vicky gets in your ear.
I think it's going to be really good.
I'm excited.
Me too. I mean, anything with drinking.
And St. Patrick's Day.
A part of me really hopes that Shannon makes it. Tequila's an upper. Like, yes. Or, like, have a double. Like, just to, like, as a joke.
As a joke. Just to, like,
air.
Break the ice.
Right. That's our advice 6 months later.
Yeah.
But moving on to Dallas.
So, if I could begin.
Yes, please.
I am certainly not trying to jump to New York, but I couldn't help when I was watching both of these back to back, that New York, everyone aside from Carol has been married and divorced.
Mm.
And in Dallas, they're all on their first marriages. And I feel like in New York, you're seeing this is the aftermath of letting men hold the purse strings. And that's why these women are so independent. And in Dallas, you're seeing kind of like, oh, God, like with Stephanie in this house.
Mm, I was wondering what you thought about this because, I mean, I can't even imagine getting into a situation where someone in my life that I am tied to would buy a house without my knowledge.
Right.
Like, that is a crazy circumstance for me that I don't even know how you get into that situation.
Right.
Dorinda even says during the New York reunion, she's like, this is why it is so important to be your own woman and do your own thing so that... And then someone else said this. Oh, it was on The Bachelor, so never mind. But because... You can't be dependent on that other person because we have all seen that that's not how life works. And we even saw it this week with Shannon and David when she wanted to open up her own business. And he's like, restaurants are really hard. I don't think it's a good idea. And she was like, this is a dream I've had before I even met you. I'm right. Allowed to pursue it now. I've supported you. You
right.
Know? It's the same tune. These ladies.
Man keeping us down.
Yep.
In an OC, we've gotten to see their firsts and seconds in a lot of instances, right. You know? So I don't know. It just,
I think Stephanie is at a moment, and she had it last year too, where like Travis would be making honey-do lists for her. And it would be like, oh, you didn't clean off, like her and Brandy had to go out and like clear that wasp's nest.
Right.
And Stephanie made it a point to be like, I'm not doing this anymore. We are a partnership. I'm not going to just be handed a list and like that's what happens. And I think we're seeing the like growing pains of that right now.
Right.
Because she said everything that I don't know how else she could have made it so much more clear to him to be like, this has to be a partnership. You can't just go out and buy this on your own. I have to be, we are together in this. You can't do this, and it's very important to me that you don't. Like, she does everything correctly. It's not like she's just sitting there quietly.
Right.
So we'll see. I think because we're seeing this so early in the season, and, you know, timelines, like, I think this was just happening at that time, but I think we're going to see how Stephanie's marriage continues and shakes out and, like, the power dynamic there because
right.
It was definitely a point last year and she said they decided to go to therapy so I wonder if mm-hmm. It's going to keep moving forward.
And it's not just Stephanie. I mean I even thought of this because Cameron said he wants me to be the best CEO of the house.
And now Court doesn't really want me to work, but he definitely wants me to be a very good CEO of the house.
That this whole episode kind of broke my heart in that way because, like, she clearly – that's one thing. But then she was like, oh, I would have been so excited to go to this dog show to talk about the pink dog food. And he was like, you got to just stop. And then when she's like, I'm not crazy. My dad owns a dog treat plant. And I was like, this isn't, like, just some, like, pipe dream. She knows what she's talking about.
Right. It's so funny because Aaron walked by when she said that line and he was like, oh, my God. And I said, that's my dream. Like that you come home and say, you know what? I got this. You just stay home and make it the best home. He's like, we all want that, Megan.
Right, right. But I don't think anyone wants to just sit at home and do nothing. Maybe you do want to stay at home and like raise your kids like Carrie does this week or is saying that she wants to transition into. But like, I think the idea is that these women are trying to, like, do more with their lives and their husbands aren't as supportive as they would hope. There's
would
no way.
Care of Penny.
That's all you would want to do. You are, like, one of the most ambitious people I've ever met. There is no way that you would be a happy sit at home taking care
Some
of Penny.
Some weeks it's just really hard. I could do Instagram stories.
That's how I get my creative outlet. Anyway, moving on from just
but like with the house, because we were talking about, you know, Stephanie's husband's house. Cover the pool. That house was amazing. Just cover the pool.
I did like that it was like on the lake or whatever it is. Is it a river? I don't know what's in Dallas.
I know there are lakes. I think it might have been on a lake. I couldn't tell from there where it was.
Okay.
But it was beautiful on the outside. Beautiful like chandeliers and huge. I just feel like,
see, to me, pool. It felt like because partially because of the pool, because of all the stuff, you know, like a $1 million listing when they'll be like, I don't want to take on this house because it's a very specific buyer.
Mm.
Like, that's what I felt about it.
Right. It's totally not her style.
Right. And it's like someone out there will love that house.
Right.
And the person that made it to their specific desires and needs.
Yeah.
But that's what it reminded me of. And like, they always hate it. Like, Josh or anyone is always like, ugh, I don't want to take on this house because, or they just won't sell it. Like that boathouse that he
right.
had like 4 seasons ago.
Uh-huh.
He didn't sell that house.
Right.
Because it was too specific. It was like too weird. Yeah, so that's what I thought about. But yeah, you could cover the pool. But I also was like, she's not crazy saying we have 2 small children.
Right, and a dog.
And a dog. Can we not have a pool in our living room?
Also, that would just get so gross. I mean, I don't... Ugh.
You'd really have to have, like...
regular maintenance.
Yes.
That would be the full-time job.
Right. And then she was saying, like, realistic things. Like, I want to have a guest house for when our parents come so they aren't, like, living in our house. Like... So I think that what's going to happen is they're going to flip it because that's what she said. But we'll find out. I don't know if they're moved into that house or not.
Right.
But then there's this dog park fight.
Yeah. The least likely place that women would, I don't know, bitches.
I know. I was thinking of Frenchie.
Yeah.
Jealous bitches.
Jealous bitches.
Basically, it's Carrie, Leanne, Stephanie, Brandy, and Deandra. And they're like, okay, I think we all need to talk. And then immediately Leanne launches into, so why did you text Brandy about me and say I'm up to my old ways? I was surprised that Stephanie was surprised that Leanne would get so mad about that text message. Or I feel like she was like not ready for it. Or like I think she thought they would just sit down and she would talk to Brandy. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, of course Leanne's going to be mad.
Right.
And I felt like it was unfair. I was kind of like, I think Leanne might be right in this situation. She's allowed to confront you and be like, what was that text message about? Actually, you've been the bad friend to Brandy, and you need to keep my name out of your mouth.
Look in the mirror, bitch.
Ugh.
Really? Look in the mirror, bitch.
So good. And I feel like Stephanie did not have a good answer.
Right, and no closer to a resolution with Brandy.
No. Other than, like, yes, we'll set up a time to talk. Which is more than last time.
Yeah, that's good. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
So Real Housewives of New York, reunion part 2.
OMG.
I'm just kind of mad, to be honest, because I was at the filming and they took out so much. And I mean, I can't even say it here because God knows I don't want to be sued. But like I felt like now once again, we're hearing that Bethany is, quote unquote, tortured by her ex-husband. But we have no understanding of what that means. But if you were in the room that day, you would have had. And I'm just so bummed out that like fans aren't getting that piece of the puzzle.
Right. Because I feel like it's hard for her because... it's kind of like, oh, the diamond shoes are too tight. Like,
right.
People kind of put that on her, and she's not even able to be like, no, it's because of this, and it actually is traumatizing.
Right.
But
I also understand that they want to be careful legally because she said that she had to pay $3 million in legal fees.
Right.
What?
That was an insane number to me. Like, yeah, I would be really stressed out if I had a $3 million bill. Like, no wonder she's working all the time.
Right.
I did enjoy the moment when she was like, I don't mean to make my problems any worse than the women I represent with Be Strong. So I feel like she has her own problems, but I thought it was really great that she's an advocate for people who have maybe even more serious problems, or like,
and less money.
And less money. Even she even said that, like, at least I have the funds to be able to like fight this in the right way that it needs to be fought.
Yeah.
And some people are like, I can't keep my lights on. So that was all just very
What did you think though heavy. What she said about Bryn? Because to me, when she, you know, because I do think that that's the question on a lot of fans' minds. Bryn's going to grow up. Does she have any idea how bad things are between her parents?
I think that Bethany is in denial of the impact that it's going to have. Because, like, I think Dorinda or someone was like, or even Andy was like, but she's going to look back at this time. It's like your own life. It's not like, yes, it's not going to be right in the news right now, but if she ever wanted to go back and look and be like, what was happening with my parents? She could find it.
Right. And even Sonia said, my daughter is starting to realize what has happened.
Right. And I feel like I want to know. Right. And it's not even my life.
I think I've Googled my parents, and they're not even people of notoriety.
Right.
No offense.
No offense to the Richardsons.
No offense to the Richardsons.
Yeah. So I just was like, I it's probably like a way she's dealing with the fact that her daughter might find out all these terrible things about her husband or her father.
She may just also be someone like with blinders. Like, I can only look at one day at a time. I cannot worry about this many years in the future.
I don't think it being 5 years from now or now, or when you're a certain age and you realize your parents are parents and people are people and not everything's perfect. Like, Avery had to find out that Mario cheated on Ramona, you know?
Which, by the way, you guys, if you have not read Ramona's book, Life on the Ramona Coaster, I really do suggest it, just as a Real Housewives of New York fan, because she went into detail about Avery finding out and her reaction, and all I could think was, like, that's exactly how I would react if I were in Avery's shoes. She, like, ran outside hysterically crying and was, like, screaming at her father.
Of course.
And, like, did not talk to him for a while. But I wanted to ask you, what did you think about Carol saying she and Adam broke up?
Okay.
But didn't break up.
Right. At first I was like, no. And then I was like, because at first I did not like them together. But now I've come to love them.
Right.
But then when they were like, well, we're not really broken up, we just went on a trip to Spain together, I was like, oh, so you're together. But did you think that Luann knew something? Because I feel like when she was like, would you want to know?
Like, no. I think she was trying to kind of give a jab. Like, you guys keep coming to me. Would you want to know? That's what I think. I also think they cut it out, but I'm going to tell you, is that Bethany said something like, Carolyn Adams is a situation that is not cut and dry. They didn't break up or take a break because they don't like each other anymore. They are in two different places in life. And, like, what do you do when you really love someone, but, like, you don't want the same things out of life?
Right.
It's just, like, an impossible situation.
It's a notebook situation.
And the best part for me that day, and hopefully for the viewers at home, was who voted for who.
Ugh, yes.
I mean, yes, three people abstained, but you can make your own assumptions there.
Right, as Carol did.
Right. Did any surprise you?
No.
I was surprised by Bethany, because I thought she was going to abstain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I voted for Hillary. I didn't like this election. I didn't like my choices. I didn't think it was, you know, an ideal situation, and that was part of the reason I didn't want to really get into a conversation with Carol. But there you have it.
Well, I thought that it was the kind of thing that Carol was, like, so gung-ho, and Bethany was like, yes, I'm going to vote for her, but I don't want to hear how great she is because I don't think she's that great.
Right.
Meaning Hillary Clinton.
But I think she did a really good job of, up until then, not showing her cards, because she said that, like, everyone on Twitter had been, like, barraging her with, who did you vote for? Because you're not saying it in the episode.
Well, that's probably why she said it.
Yeah.
To be like, let me clear some stuff up.
Yeah.
Is
there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I wanted to talk about how it breaks my heart that Frenchie could be an actor.
I don't think that's it.
Okay.
I don't think it's a Real Housewives of Miami season 2 situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if you fans at home get my drift.
I do.
What was her name?
The dentist.
Yeah, Karen. Karen. It's not a Karen situation.
Karen Sierra.
Karen.
Because I want them to like be together. And I know that he wants children, but I think they're great together. They clearly have a lot of sexual chemistry.
You want them to have children together?
No, I just want them to be together. I said, I know that he wants children, but like...
Oh, I was like, Rachel, you might be reaching for the stars with that one.
But I also was like, maybe her and Rocco in 7 years might get together.
I don't know. That I was kind of with Bethany on that. Like,
you're leading him on?
Just like, no, but it more so like it's just confusing. I don't really care about what she's doing. It's more like, what is Rocco getting out of this?
Right.
He looks like he has no backbone, like, because he's just like waiting for her. But for her, I think maybe that is true love. I don't know.
I know. It's a very interesting situation.
Yeah.
These Upper East Side ladies. But moving on.
Shaws of Sunset.
Yes. So this episode, first of all, I just want to talk about how I really want to go to the Dead Sea. So it's just in general.
Just to float.
Just to float.
Have you ever seen Hope Floats?
I've seen that movie several times.
And remember at the end, she's like, and it will, and you'll float.
Just give Hope a chance to float up. And it will, too.
Oh my God, I've seen it. They, for some reason, they played that like every weekend on like ABC Family.
It was a rotating VHS in the Richardson household.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's such a good movie. I love Harry Connick Jr.
Yes.
He's so cute. He's really cute in that movie.
Yeah.
I was about to go on like a whole tangent about Harry Connick Jr. Have you seen the movie New in Town?
No.
You should. He's really cute in that movie. It's Renee Zellweger. It's not.
No, I remember hearing about, and like, like passing the movie poster, and I was like, nope.
My mom like loves that movie. She bought it for me, my aunt, like her friend. She's like, it's obsessed with New in
so
Town.
It is good.
I genuinely love that movie.
All right, I'll look into it.
I own it thanks to my mother, so I can lend it to you anytime. But so yes, Hope Floats as the Dead Sea. But this was the big episode when Asa reveals that she got her embryos frozen, or not her embryos, embryos in general frozen.
Right. Shocking, but also not a definitive. Like, I feel it was evidence in the case against that Asa had these kids naturally, but it's not, she's not saying that she's saying she did not use them.
No, she's maintaining that this is a miracle baby. It happened au naturel. Like, yes. She froze these embryos with Jermaine, but they started trying, and right away she got pregnant.
And I mean, I don't know either way. I'm just saying, if you're in a court and it's like, well, the baby's a boy. Well, she only had male embryos frozen. I mean, that's going to sway me a little bit.
I'm no doctor, but somehow at 40 years old, Asa miraculously had a natural pregnancy.
How do you feel?
It's just magic. Like, it's a miracle.
The fact that you got pregnant au naturel.
At 40.
Like, 40-year-old eggs are broke-down eggs.
Yeah, not this one. I feel really, really fortunate.
The fact that you used, like, the word miracle, that was really good. And to do it with a straight face, pretty f***ing impressive.
I mean, that's exactly what MJ says. She's like, let me do some math here. So you froze male embryos, and now you're having a boy. Very interesting. But I liked the moment where MJ was like floored, because when she was getting IVF done, or when she was getting her eggs frozen, Asa was like, oh, what was the process like? I'm so interested. Like, what? And she was like, you did this like 6 years ago, and you didn't tell me, and you're asking me all these questions as if you don't know what you're talking about?
Well, and that was their whole complaint last season at the reunion, is like, Asa lives a very superficial life on this show. She doesn't show us her relationship with Jermaine. We don't ever know what's actually happening aside from her businesses. And this is kind of a huge point in that argument.
Right. And Reza at the Dead Sea was like, me and Asa, I talk to her every day. We have a conversation. Like, I've told her stuff that I haven't told any of you. She's told me stuff that she hasn't told any of you. That's just how friendships are. And I wanted to ask you, like, do you think you can be friends with someone and only know part of their life?
Like, from MJ's point of view?
From MJ, from Gigi, from, like, anyone that's not Reza at that
From
table.
Anyone that's not Reza, right. No. That's a huge thing to not tell someone that's going through the same thing. And I know that, like, what you go through is your business, yada, yada. But at the same time, especially on a reality show, like, if I'm showing my vulnerable side, like, think about Shannon Bedore, you know? That's someone who is laying it all out there.
Versus, like, the Countess, right. who, like, always hid her relationship with the Count and right. all of her marriage issues.
It's not fair. So to be in a close friend circle on the same show, MJ showing it all, warts and all, and Asa is very tight-lipped about it, yeah, I would lose a lot of trust.
Right. Or I'd be like, I don't want to go on vacation with you. I don't want to be your friend. We're not friends then.
Right. It's a superficial friendship.
Yeah. And, like, sometimes I think you can just say that to each other. But then I feel like Asa's like, no, but it's just how it is and it's fine. And I think MJ's allowed to have some anger there, or at least some betrayal or hurt feelings.
Now,
or
I will say I understand why Asa wouldn't necessarily tell MJ, in terms of MJ is very – she has made these criticisms in the past. So I get that Asa doesn't trust her. But the fact she hasn't told anyone besides Reza in that group is – like, maybe it's an Asa thing, not an MJ thing. Mm-hmm.
But I do think that Asa's allowed to say, but that's what our friendship is. And we're not really close. And some people you're really close with and you share everything with. And some people we go out and we hang out and it's a really good time, but we're not the best of friends. And right. that's okay, too. So I think Asa's allowed to say that as well.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
It just depends on, like, what you want out of the situation. And both of you, it's like any relationship. You both have to be willing to, like, put the effort in and be there for each other and be open for each other, or it's not going to be a relationship.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't think that's ending, though. I think this is, like, the beginning of more cracks. And then the next on, we see this whole Shervin and Gulnessa sleeping together stuff.
Shervin! Gulnessa said you f***ed her and you admitted it!
Where's she?
Oh,
where's
my
Gulnessa?
God!
Where's Gulnessa?
I don't know what's happening, but I can't wait to find out. Because he has a girlfriend.
Flipping Out returned this week, and I am such a personal fan of this show. I just, it's always so funny to me. And I loved the intro because it really painted a portrait of how dramatic this season's going to be. Mm. It's like 4 weeks before the baby comes. What would you do? And it's like you can either stop the house project you're working on, prepare for baby, or you can do what Jeff does, which is demo the house and, like, put everyone in such a, like, crazed headspace.
Well, I was on, this was my show, but I sadly had to give it up because of schedule changes. And I was on a call where we found out that Jeff did this, and everyone was like, what? But the baby's coming. Like, right. And he decides to just move out of this house that he's been working on and set up a baby room in. Like, it's crazy.
But isn't this, like, so like him? It almost seems, just in other seasons, like, he likes to create the chaos.
I was just going to say, he likes chaos. I feel like he's even said this. I don't know if it was last year or this season before, when they, like, moved out of Gramercy and into a new house. And he was, and Gage was like, I want to have, like, a house or something. And Jeff was like, this was always what my dad said growing up. It's like, this is only temporary and there'll be the next thing and it'll be great, or something to that effect. And I think that he likes that temporary, like, there's always a next thing.
Right.
It's always like there's something else coming, or he feels comfortable. I think when things are just like, whew, he can't handle it. He needs something going on, or else he'll just go out of his mind.
Right. Which is a problem when you're married to someone who just wants stability and, like, one home to call theirs.
Right, right.
I loved it because Jeff called his grandmother on the phone.
And oh, my God. I loved this scene.
Giving an update on the baby and was like, oh, we're naming her Monroe.
What, Mo?
They're going to call her Mo. I'll bet you 10 whole dollars they'll call her little Mo.
10 whole dollars?
Which is hilarious.
And they're going to call her Mo.
It was just Mo.
So funny.
And then Jeff was like, you know what? I think it's going to be fine. My brother had a kid and he named her Pepper. And I was like, I love the name Pepper.
You're like, adding it to the list.
Yes.
Sterling
it's
and Pepper.
On the list.
I will say, I was in a meeting where we watched ahead and I saw it all happen. And it was crazy.
The birth, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like everything that happened is like the worst that could happen for Jeff.
Yeah.
Who needs everything on time, on schedule, everything perfect. He likes everything exactly as it should be. And it's like, which was why I'm so excited to see him with a baby, because it's the opposite.
Right.
Of OCD Jeff. He needs all the water bottle labels going in the front, you know, like it's the babies are not OCD proof.
Well, and you see on like what's going to, you know, what to expect for the whole season. It looks like the baby's not going to like help the marriage, which of course, because babies are stressful. And I don't know, just hearing him talk about his problems with Gage, that made me really nervous for them, and I hope they can work it out. But the other last big thing about this episode that I wanted to talk about was that it sounds like Vanina's about to quit. And that breaks my heart, because we've seen her with this family for a long time. And I know that it's like he goes through employees so fast.
But she's been there for so long.
She's been there for so long. He bought her breasts.
Oh, right. He does that.
Yeah. I've never had a boss even offer.
Yeah, I know what happens.
Ugh. Is it bad?
I can't tell you.
Keep watching.
Yeah, because it might not be the what you think.
Okay.
Well, I feel like we got really deep this week, Megan.
We have uncovered some ideological truths about the Real Housewives.
Yes.
We've waxed poetic.
Mm-hmm. We've questioned what it means to be a housewife, I think.
Yeah. Questioned what it is to be a woman.
Right, right. So for anyone that thinks this is just all laughs and giggles.
Some deep shit going on here.
But enough of our thoughts. Tweet us your thoughts at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. We have something special next week planned with Dorinda Medley. So if you have any questions for her, the Dorinda Medley, tweet us and we'll ask them for you.
And just as a helpful hint of what we might have going on, go to the Bravo Facebook page and like it.
Just maybe
just saying,
do that.
Just saying, maybe something will happen. You can find me on Twitter at Meg Segura.
You can find me at Rachie Robb.
And you can find this show on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
And wherever you're listening, please leave us a review. It helps us out so much to know what you like, what you don't. And we just like hearing nice things about ourselves.
Exactly.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.